To Libya once again, where the view from the perspective of the rebels fighting Muammar Gaddafi may be a bit more uncertain this morning. Rupert Wingfield Hayes, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, is traveling with those rebel units, and he just filed this update from Tripoli earlier this hour.
Well, I don't think anybody's in control of Tripoli right now. Our experience yesterday of going into the city was that it is extremely fluid. The city is, I would describe it as, it is sort of atomized into different neighborhoods. Some controlled by pro-Gaddafi loyalists, some controlled by people who support the rebellion. But beyond their neighborhood, people do not know what is going on. They're staying in their homes, they're staying in their streets. They are armed, but many of the people we saw were armed with very old weapons, some even with just knives and rocks. The rebels that we are traveling with, who have led, who spearheaded the advance on Tripoli in the last week and come from the western mountains of Libya, have pulled out of the city last night. We were with them as they pulled out at sunset last night. They said it's simply not safe enough to stay there. And as we've heard overnight with the appearance of Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, it's clear that the Gaddafi family is still in its compound or somewhere in that area and still in control of significant forces who are defending that part of the city.
Correspondent for our partner, the BBC, Rupert Wingfield Hayes, with the rebel forces in Tripoli, where the celebratory atmosphere that we heard yesterday, not very much in evidence today. But let's step ahead now. Of the most sensitive details may never fully be known of what went on over the last 24 hours and what will go on over the next few weeks. It appears that a seemingly limited NATO air campaign to stop civilian deaths at the hand of Muammar Gaddafi became something much more sophisticated, and particularly in the last 72 hours or so, a coordinated strategy of diplomatic isolation, remote-controlled airstrikes, massive bombardment of Gaddafi assets, and a well-organized effort to deliver aid, weapons, intelligence, and training to the rebels, while denying the same to Libyan government forces. Add to that a novel arrangement of cooperation over target selection, command and control, and NATO-supplied communication for the rebels in that run on Tripoli, and the outlines of a possibly new doctrine of war emerges. NATO delivers the tip of the spear, local boots on the ground. Is this perhaps a model for fighting wars in the future? Joining us now is Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs magazine and author of the book How Wars End. Gideon, it's great to have you with us this morning.
Good to be here.
Do you think there is something new about this particular doctrine of warfare, or is it a refinement of something that's been tried in the past with maybe more limited success?
You know, I think you characterized the positive case for what's just happened very well. And the argument that some people are making is that this is new. We are seeing, thanks to air power, thanks to communications technology, thanks to our own wisdom in how to run these things, a new way of war that is easier, cheaper, quicker than in the past, that doesn't require the massive investment of time, resources, boots on the ground, and so forth that previous wars have required in order to achieve their results. I would be a little bit cautious about that. I think it's way too early to tell. In Afghanistan, after all, we did something quite similar with relatively small American contributions on the ground, working with local forces, and it actually did manage to achieve wonderful results in toppling the Taliban, pushing them out, and so forth. But the problem with that is that after the military campaign and the war comes the political campaign to establish order in the country and a real durable political settlement there. And as we know, we're still in Afghanistan a decade later. So in the same way, we don't yet know what our long-term involvement in Libya will be or what the post-Gaddafi regime in Libya will be. And that's always been, frankly, the larger challenge, not simply defeating the Gaddafi regime militarily.
We're speaking with Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs magazine, author of How Wars End. So perhaps, Gideon, the difference isn't necessarily so much in strategy, but how the war began. In other words, in Afghanistan, we went in there of our own choice. In Libya, the Libyan people or the Libyan opposition groups asked for intervention. Is that what made the difference?
You know, I'm not even sure how great a difference that is, because the Libyan people, some aspects of the Libyan people asked for intervention and created an uprising. But the fact is they couldn't achieve their goals without our help. And we went in initially to help protect them, But I think the evolution of the campaign from humanitarian intervention to stop a massacre on the one hand to regime change and helping the rebels beat the Gaddafi regime on the other was always implicit in the original rationale, because the only reason there was a humanitarian crisis in the first place was because the rebels had risen up and couldn't take on Gaddafi themselves. So there was never a halfway point in which you could do just a humanitarian intervention and no more than that. So what happened was that NATO logically found itself compelled to continue moving forward, and then after a while, with the rebels' help and NATO air power, you managed to get a successful military campaign, which after the chaos of the next day or the last day or two will eventually result in Gaddafi being captured or killed. And, you know, but now the real challenge comes.
Well, you're describing the sort of moral fig leaves that international institutions and superpowers use to justify military intervention, civilian casualties, that sort of thing. But war is war on some level. Let me just push back a little bit on what you were saying a moment ago. I mean, I agree with you. The jury is still out. I mean, Saif is running around, you know, on his own sort of video channel practically in Tripoli. So Gaddafi's seem alive and well. But it does appear that there's a concerted effort by NATO to use its forces to enhance the political credibility of the rebels, both internationally and on the ground in Libya, where in Afghanistan and Iraq, just the opposite happened. The heavy presence of U.S. forces in Afghanistan and Iraq denied the Karzai regime and the Iraqi government any political credibility as time went on. The opposite seems to be the strategy here.
Well, you know, we have to the key factor there is the phrase "as time went on." We really just don't know at this point. Look, the interesting, I mean, I think so far Libya has resembled more than anything else the Kosovo campaign of a dozen years ago. There you had an intervention that was led by NATO in response to a threatened humanitarian disaster carried out by Milosevic, and you eventually had an intervention that stabilized and toppled a regime, and ultimately achieved a pretty decent outcome. A good book about Kosovo called The War, Winning Ugly. And that's pretty much what's going to happen, I think, in Libya as well. But we're still maintaining a presence outside. Forces are still maintaining a presence in Kosovo. And the question is, what's Libya going to look like, not today, not tomorrow, but not even 6 months from now, but a year from now, 5 years from now. We don't yet know what the – it's easier to knock down a regime than it is to build one up. And that's the challenge facing the next stage.
Is that the takeaway before we go? You wrote the book How Wars End. Is this how wars are going to begin in the 21st century, these sorts of NATO campaigns?
A hell of a lot depends on what happens next. If this is seen as a successful campaign that can achieve results at low cost without a larger occupation, then yes, it may be a model for the future. But if this bogs down or turns into chaos or is not successful in the long run, it won't provide a model for what happens next.
All right, Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs Magazine and the author of How Wars End. Thanks as always.
You got it.
In Libya's future, do you think the United States needs to play a role?
This is David in North Miami Beach, Florida. I think the U.S. needs to be as much hands-off as possible with Libya, working through the U.N. and NATO and other non-governmental organizations. We need to be seen as little of a crusader as possible.
What do you think? 877-8-MYTAKE. You can post to thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.